Okay, we're up to Perek Zayin, Mishnah Hey. Now, the final three Mishnayos of this Perek deal with seven rules, seven new things that the Beis Din, that the big court decided that they were going to institute. And so these Mishnayos go through all seven of these ideas and what they are. So let's start with Mishnah Hey and Perek Zayin. So Parishona, originally, says the Mishnah in the beginning, Hayu Mimashkinin Es Motzeha. The court would take like a collateral from the finder of a lost animal, until he would bring the offerings accompanying nesachim, right? The mincha and nesachim parts that have to go with the a karban that is found. So they would take a collateral from this guy until he'd be willing to cough up the money to pay for these things. To bring with the karban. So let's just take a step back for a second. If you remember yesterday, we spoke about a karban that was found on the street, right? The animal that was found on the street that we assumed to be a karban. So that karban, so this guy would come in and bring it in the Beis HaMikdash. But we would say that this guy is actually responsible for paying for the accompanying mincha nesachim offerings, the libations and the flour that go along with it. So since he is financially responsible for it, so we would just say, we're going to take a collateral from you, this finder of the lost animal, and say that we're going to keep this collateral from you until you would agree to pay for the offerings, until you would bring the offerings, the mincha nesachim offerings that go along with it, because again, that was nowhere to be found. Chazru, but what happened? Chazru liyos mani chenosa uvorchin. They found that as a result of this rule, that people began to just leave the animals that they found on the streets, and they would run away. Right? Who wants to have to pay for this for these extra nesachim, for these extra libations and the like? So therefore, they found that this happened, and then his kino based in the court. Therefore, decided to institute sheyihu nesachah ba'in mishal sibor, that the accompanying nesachim offerings that would come along with this found animal that we assume is a karban, that would come from communal money, so that people don't flee and just leave these animals on the streets. They would actually bring them to the Beis HaMikdash and take care of them properly. Now, Amar Rabbi Shimon, Mishnah Vav, Amar Rabbi Shimon says, Shiva Devarim Hiskinu Beistin. There were seven rulings that the court ruled relating to karbanos and the like. Vizech Ad Mehen, and this that we just read in Mishnah Hey, that was one of the rulings. What are the next six? So that's what the next Mishnah and a half deal with. So, Nachri Sheshalach Olaso Mimidina Tayam. One ruling is that if a non-Jew decided to send an olah offering from overseas, so we know that non-Jews can consecrate certain karbanos, it's a machlokas as to which karbanos they can bring in the Beis HaMikdash, but one opinion is that they certainly can bring olah offerings. So if a nachri, if a non-Jew says, if he decides to send his olah offering from overseas, he's sending it to the Beis HaMikdash saying, please, with a note, please bring this as a karban to the Beis HaMikdash, signed John Smith. Vishalach ima nesachim, and he sent along money for the nesachim, for the libations that should go along with it. So we say, very easy, craving mishalo. Great, we bring this karban and we bring the nesachim that are offered from his own, the nesachim are then offered from his own money. It's very easy. V'imlav, but if he didn't send the money for the nesachim, craving mishal sibor, says the Mishnah, then the nesachim are offered from communal funds. The communal funds pay for these extra libations and the like that go along with this offering. That is the second ruling of the seven. What's the third? Let's say you have a convert who died without any heirs and left behind animals that he wanted to bring as karbanos. So it's interesting. Why does the Mishnah only give an example of a ger who doesn't have any ears? Can anyone not have any ears? So the answer is no. As if you were born Jewish, then even if you don't have any children, you know, you certainly have some heir somewhere, because we're all related, in an extended family. But a ger who is certainly 100% part of the Jewish people, nonetheless, we say that when he converts, that he's is detached from, he's like a newborn child. That's the language the Gemara uses. So he has no official real heirs, because he's not related to the people that who aren't Jewish in his family, and he is not related to biologically to any of the Jewish people, and therefore it could happen that a ger could not have any heirs. So if you have a convert, right, you have this ger who doesn't have any heirs, he left behind some animals that he said these are going to be brought for karbanos. So what do? Im yesh lo nesachem kareven mishalo. If he set aside some money to be used for the nesachem offerings, then great. Then the nesachem the libations will be brought from his money. Ve'im lav, kraven mishal tzibor. But if he didn't leave along any money, then the nesachim, the libations, come from the communal funds. Great, that is the third takana. Utanai based in who? Says the Mishnah, there is another stipulation of the court. This would be ruling number four. That back in the day, a Kohen Gadol, he would bring a daily mincha offering. That was his job. And for this daily mincha offering, basically he would bring, he would have the whole thing, which was basically, there was a tenth of an ephah that was a flour that would be fried in olive oil, and then this would essentially become 12 loaves. They would bake in 12 loaves, and he would bring half in the morning and half in the afternoon. So that's what the Kohen Gadol used to do every day. But says the Mishnah, Tanai Beis, and who there's a stipulation of the court, Al Kohen Gadol Shemis, when a Kohen Gadol died, and there, you know, maybe there's a day or two of some period of time that there's no Kohen Gadol to take his place. So in that situation, that the daily mincha offering of the Kohen Gadol would be brought from communal funds. Very simple. Rabbi Yehuda says, Mishal Yorshin, he says, no, what are you talking about? All the it actually comes from the money. The heirs of the Kohen Gadol actually have to pay for this mincha offering until they appoint the next Kohen Gadol. Ushleim Mahaisa Kreva, but says in the Mishnah, regardless of who you hold, like whether you say it comes from the communal funds or you say it comes from the heirs, Ushleim Mahaisa Kreva, that the entire whole offering, in other words, all 12 loaves would be offered in the morning, and then again in the afternoon they would offer another whole 12 loaves. Okay, so that is the first four takanas that the Beis Din has. What are the remaining three takanas? So Al HaMelach V'Al HaEitzim, the court made a takana regarding salt and wood. So this is the salt that was used to salt offerings that were burnt on the Mizbeach, and the wood is the wood that was used to fuel the fire that karbanos were burnt on the Mizbeach for. That what did they make a takana regarding these two things? Sheyehiyu hakohanim neosim bahen, that kohanim who were serving in the Beis HaMikdash would be able to make use of them for their own needs, and that they would be able to use the salt for sacrificial meat that they would be eating, and they would be able to use the wood to cook the food from karbanos that they would be eating. So you say it doesn't make any sense. We said before, malin vein yoridin, right? We go up in kedusha, but we don't go down. So you can't. How do we have the right to take this wood and take the salt that was sanctified for something, for the karbanos that were being burnt off to Hashem, and now we're going to use it for the even though they're for karbanos, nonetheless it's a lower sanctity because this meat was going to be eaten by Kohanim and not by the Mizbeach that was going directly to Hashem. So the way this is seemingly worked was that there was a stipulation that the money that was given originally to the funds that paid for these things was given with the intent that anyone who gave it, it could be used for these things as well. Therefore, there was no concern of malin vein moridim. That would be the fifth takana, that the Kohanim would be able to use this salt and wood for their own meat from the karbanos. The final two, v'al ha-para, the court made a decree, a takana on para aduma, shelo yihu mo'alin be'efra, that a person would not violate the prohibition of me'ila when they used the ashes, if they used it for some personal use. So what is this talking about over here? So it happens to be that midoraisa, there actually technically is not in a prohibition of me'ila for the ashes of paraduma if you use it for your own personal use. However, people, the courts realized that there was actually people who were taking paraduma ashes and using it to heal wounds and things like that it should not be used for. It's only to purify someone who's tamei meis, and therefore they made a takana that that there actually would be some sort of me'ila prohibition if a person used the ashes. Then they realized that people, say the mefarshim, they realized that people would not actually stop using the paraduma to even purify someone who was tamei meis because they were concerned that maybe they'd get some personal use out of it. They didn't have to pay this fine. They didn't have to suffer this prohibition. And therefore, says this Mishnah, that you know what? The Rabbanan took away the prohibition of me'ila, and if you were going to use the paraduma ashes, so even if you use the paraduma ashes, again, you should not do it, but if you did it for your own personal use, you would not violate this prohibition of this rabbinic me'ila. That was number six. And finally, number seven, v'al ha'kinin ha'psulos sheyehu va'os mishal tzibor, there was a takana made that when there were disqualified bird pairs, right, so there was an area of the Beis HaMikdash where they used to have birds that were bought by the Beis HaMikdash, from the money that was deposited in the chest for bird pairs, right? So if there was found to be in this chest a disqualified bird pairs, not good to be used. So then says the Mishnah, at Sakana, a new pair of birds should be brought to replace them using communal money. That's where the money should come from. But Rabbi Yossi says, what are you talking about? You know where the replacement bird pair should come from? Hamasapik esakinen, the one who supplies the bird pairs to the temple in the first place, he should be the one who's liable to pay for them. Masapik esapsulos, the one who supplies the bird pairs to the temple, he should be the one, he should supply the replacements for either disqualified ones or even seemingly lost bird pairs. He would be liable for any of this stuff as part of his contract. So that brings us to the end of Perek Zayin. These final three Mishnayos are dealing with the seven takanas of the beast, and God willing, next time we'll continue with Perek Chet, but for now we will stop right here.